The ESPN Chicago postgame show is live. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app in HD at 100.3 HD2 and on AM at ESPN 1000. Let's get right into it. Here's your host, Fred Huebner.
Well, it was a hell of a lot better than last week, wasn't it? And if we knew it had to be, plus we knew the Bears were playing the Detroit Lions, who fall to 0-4. 312-332-3776. Let me know what your thoughts were of the Bears as there was a new play caller. Matt Nagy tried to explain everything about play calling and how they come up with the plays and who calls the plays and why it matters and why it doesn't matter. We'll hear from Matt Nagy. We'll also hear from Justin Fields, who, after completing six balls last week and throwing for 47, 48 yards, he had a much better game this week. As for the game, Fields 11 for 17, 209 yards, one interception on a tipped ball. He was sacked just once compared to nine times last week. So we'll take your calls. 312-332-3776. A lot of good things when you're watching the game, because we saw a quarterback, we saw an offense that actually ran some play action, that ran some guys in motion, that actually threw the ball downfield. How nice was that to see? And it started early, throwing the ball downfield. There was no delay. They threw the ball downfield very early in the first series.
Second and six at the 40.
180, what's that?
Play fake. Field sets up deep in the pocket. Quick time.
Oh, Gus Johnson making everything sound exciting on Fox, or FOX, as he kept saying throughout the course of the game. And it was exciting when Justin Fields was dropping back and finding a Darnell Mooney. Mooney had a really, really nice game for the Chicago Bears. Five catches, 125 yards. He and Justin Fields, they work after practice each and every day. Fields said in the post-game press conference that they actually get together and stick around. He throws passes to them all the time. They've got a little thing going, which is great to see, because Darnell Mooney is a guy we knew had to step up this year because you needed another guy on the other side from Allen Robinson. Robinson for himself, three catches, 63 yards today. I think he only had three targets, so we caught them all, including going up really high for a ball down the right sideline, grabbed it, kept his feet in bounds. It was a really nice catch, but it was nice to see as the Bears were throwing the ball downfield. They were running play action. They were having guys in motion. They had the running backs and the tight ends blocking at times. The offensive line, which had nine sacks last week, as I mentioned, just one sack. And Fields said, actually, that was on him. He should have got rid of the ball a little bit sooner. And if you watched the game last week, and we discussed it last week here on the postgame show, Fields did hold on to the ball a little bit too long last week. Now, not for all nine sacks, but yeah, several times he probably could have got rid of the ball a little bit sooner. But Fields looked more comfortable today. The Bears were at home so far. Two road games, two home victories, two road losses. The Bears have a bizarre schedule this year where each and every week it alternates. Road, home. That would be road for the fifth week, and that'll be in Las Vegas against the Raiders, who have a Monday night contest as they take on the Chargers. So the Bears will catch the Raiders with one last day of rest. We'll see how, if at all, that matters next week. A 3 o'clock game in Las Vegas, 3:20, 3:25, whatever it is. Jump on in, 312-332-3776. The other story of the Bears game today, besides Justin Fields and besides who was calling plays for the Chicago Bears, was the play of David Montgomery.
Montgomery running left. Catch it. Touchdown, Chicago. The Bears march it right down the field and score on their opening series. 12 plays, 75 yards. They eat up 6 minutes and 11 seconds.
Oh, and that's the nice thing about Gus Johnson. He gives you all the information you need. It was a four-yard touchdown run. A Montgomery of the Bears, they move downfield, as he said. 12 plays, 75 yards. 6-11. And if you look at it, that was the longest scoring drive the Bears had. Now, in the past, you might see the Bears dominate time, move downfield slowly. Not when you've got Justin Fields throwing the ball. You get big chunk yardage. For the game today, Fields passing for 20 yards or more five times. The 20-yarder to Mooney we heard from, a 64-yarder to Mooney, a 30-yarder to Allen Robinson, a 32-yarder also to Mooney, and again to Robinson for 27 yards. That's nice to see from a Chicago Bears quarterback. Five passes, five completions for 20 or more yards. You don't see that very often from a Chicago Bear quarterback. There were some negatives. The Bears just 1 for 8. On third down, but as I mentioned, Montgomery was another one of the keys. In the second quarter, Bears took the ball, marched downfield. David Montgomery hitting the pay dirt again.
First down and goal.
180, what's happening?
Here's a handoff to Montgomery. Breaks it inside, still on his feet, pushing the ball. Touchdown, Chicago!
Yes, another touchdown for David Montgomery, and on that drive, the Bears got the ball at their own 11-yard line. They lost a yard by Montgomery. Then Fields goes deep to Mooney, 64 yards. A pitch to Montgomery for 5 yards. Then one-yarder for Montgomery. Fields scrambles. He can't find anywhere to go. He goes down the right side, gets 11 yards. The second quarter starts, first and goal at the 9. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the Bears get the touchdown. David Montgomery would not be stopped. He had guys, he was carrying guys into the end zone and looked very, very good. The downside, Montgomery gets hurt. That's right. David Montgomery left the field late in the contest. He's going to have an MRI tomorrow. As soon as he went down, he grabbed his left knee. No idea exactly what it is. There are some reports that it looked like it was a hyperextended knee, and they say, you know, that probably would not lead to a serious injury again. No one knows for sure until the MRI takes place. So the MRI is scheduled for tomorrow. But David Montgomery hurting that left knee after he has a really, really good game. 23 carries, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Nice to see from Montgomery. 312-332-3776. Jump on in. When Montgomery went out, Damian Williams came in. Damian Williams, the running back formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, he had 8 carries for 55 yards, and he actually went out with a quad injury late in the contest. The Bears getting a Damian Williams touchdown from 4 yards out on that drive in the third quarter. 6 plays, 77 yards, 2 minutes and 49 seconds. This after Duke Shelley deflects a fourth down pass to Hockenson. The Bears get the ball at their own 23. Montgomery goes a couple yards. Then they have the Wildcat, and Mooney runs the ball for a first down. Fields with a play action to A-Rob for 30. After a Montgomery one-yard run, Fields drops it into Mooney. An awesome, beautiful pass, one we don't see, again, from Bears quarterbacks. Down the right sideline, Mooney makes the catch. Williams then goes over from 4 yards out. So, again, 6 plays, 77 yards, 2 minutes, 49 seconds. The Bears with a 21-0 lead in on the way to a 24-14 victory. 312-332-3776. We talked last week how the Bears defense gave up more than 200 yards rushing on the road in Cleveland. This week, 188 yards rushing for themselves. Fields with he had some yards on the ground. You also had Montgomery, 106. You had Damian Williams with 55. So the nice thing is also after the 9 sacks last week, the Bears with just 3 plays for negative yards. Another good thing. And it's the second week in a row, and I'm interested to see what you feel about the defense, because we've all been talking about the offense. Offense is miserable. 9 sacks last week. This week, they put points on the board. They jump out to a 21-0 lead. But again, they allow teams to march downfield. Okay. Detroit for the game had a ton of yards. Okay. Detroit had more than 300 yards for the contest. And it was interesting to me. Let me see here and get you the exact numbers. For the game, 348 yards for the Detroit Lions. The Bears finished with 373. The Bears need to try to stop guys and take the ball away. Now, they took the ball away a couple times today, but they also had a situation where you have some really questionable play calling for the Detroit Lions. Okay, the Lions get the ball deep in Bears territory a couple times. As a matter of fact, it was four trips inside the 10, and they don't come away with much because they turn the ball over twice. One time the center snaps it before Goff is ready. Just some bad, bad play calling. The other thing that the Bears were doing defensively, and you hear after the game, oh, they played well. They've been playing well. Four times in the game today, penalties by the Bears prolonged drives by the Detroit Lions. Your thoughts on that? 312-332-3776. And Roquan Smith was one of them. Roquan Smith had a pass interference call on Hockenson at a third and two. The Bears would have been getting the ball in the second quarter. They were having problems throughout. This happened numerous times for the Chicago Bears. And I know that Khalil Mack also had a situation where he did the same thing. Mack gets called for roughing on a third down. The series and the drive continues. Adicho with an offside and gives the Lions a first down. And then Eddie Goldman was offside. Fortunately for Goldman, the Lions got the first down anyway, so they didn't need to take the penalty. But the Bears have to watch it on the defensive penalties, because when you play better teams, these better teams are going to take advantage of the mistakes that the Bears defense makes. They allowed 200 yards, or they allowed quite a few yards here in the first half of the game. The Bears struggling throughout, defense allowing 348 yards, as I mentioned. The Bears defense came to play. Listen, how about Robert Quinn? We've got Robert Quinn's postgame. We'll play some of that too, because all of a sudden, this is the guy that the Bears actually were trying to get. This is the guy the Bears paid the money for. He had his fourth sack of the season earlier today. I'm shorting him a sack. His fifth sack of the season today. And he also was making things happen in the backfield, chasing the running backs out of the backfield for the Detroit Lions. Khalil Mack with a sack, his fourth of the year. Roquan Smith came free and nailed Goff for his second sack of the year. And Travis Gibson played very, very well. Akeem Hicks went out of this game early, very early, with a groin injury. So he was gone. Gibson's got some time at the line position, and it was nice to see he got a sack. So the Bears defensively played very, very well. We'll hear from Matt Nagy, not only his complete press conference, but also we've got Nagy talking about the play calling. We've got him talking also about how important this was for him. Many people thought after last week's game, everyone's saying Nagy should be gone, Nagy should be fired. He heard that. But some of the questions were to Matt Nagy were, how important was this for you, or was it just another week four game in the National Football League? 312-332-3776. Let's go out to the phones. We go to Bob. We started it all off. Bob, what's up?
Fred, this is Bear fan Bob. How are you? I'm coming back from the game.
Well, are you,
you know what?
A little wet?
No, was fine. It was dry.
Fine
and
until game's over. Okay.
Bill Lazor called a great game, and you can still fire Matt Nagy as far as I'm concerned. You know, I thought the offense was absolutely terrific, and you hit on all the points. It's been a long time since we've seen an offense that actually fired on all cylinders. But that defense, you were absolutely right. I'm sitting in the stands, and those penalties were driving me crazy. You know, and I was coming back thinking about that myself. With those penalties and some bad calls at the goal line with the Lions, you know, if they would have kicked field goals and done some other things, the outcome of this game could have been very, very different. You know, those were kind of my thoughts, and yeah, I thought I'd call in and say hi. Anyways, those were my thoughts. Have a great day. Have a great show, Fred. Talk to you.
Sounds good, Bob. Take it easy and have a safe trip back home. 312-332-3776. He brings up points, and I know I mentioned it too, but the defense, you've got to play better defensively. And I know people are going to bring up the turnovers. People are going to bring up things that happened in the game, but you cannot have penalties that prolong drives. And as he mentioned, if the Lions were smart enough to kick some field goals instead of going forward and fourth and one when they were down 14-0, they would have cut it to 14-3, and then they come back with some points. They had opportunities. They cut it to a one-score game at one point late in the contest, did not do it, and then did not get the first down. So some questionable play calling. I can only imagine what Detroit Sports Radio is like talking about Campbell, the coach of the Detroit Lions. 312-332-3776. We go down to Florida. And Timmy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, basically just looking at a couple of things. Number one, good teams just don't do silly things like the Bears did in defense today. So that's got to be cleaned up big time. The second thing is, you know, I think more than anything else, I'm just looking at Fields growing this year. You know, we're nowhere near the top of the NFL, you know, as far as teams go. We're going to be middle of the road, but we want to see Fields grow, and this is a good step forward. But we just can't keep doing this, shooting ourselves in the foot. You do this against good teams, then, you know, you're going to lose. So you beat the teams you had to beat. Now it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the next 4 weeks against some quality opponents. But I hope Montgomery's okay. That's a big, big loss. He is a stud.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yep.
And stuff. But that's about it. But all in all, you know, I'm very impressed with the play calling today. I was very impressed with the throws that Fields was making and they let him make. And so there was some unpredictability there with some of the calls that they made, which is really what you got to do in this day and age.
Yeah.
You got to be unpredictable.
There's no doubt, Timmy, and we appreciate the call. The other thing is, and everybody knows this, when you're watching football, everybody that calls the station, everybody that's here on the station, we've been watching football for decades, but if you can get the running game going, all of a sudden they have to pay attention to the run game, and you can then get open. You can get guys going deep. You can get guys going down the sideline, over the middle, things like that, and it was nice to see. They still have not been using the tight ends. Now, Nagy does give credit to the tight ends today for their blocking ability, okay? But Cole Kmet had one catch for 6 yards. That was it. There were no other catches for a tight end for the Chicago Bears. I mentioned that Fields completed 11, 5 to Mooney, 3 to Allen Robinson, 2 to Damian Williams, and 1 to Cole Kmet. That's it. So it was good. It was 11 for 17, 209 yards, 1 interception on a tip ball. You had 5 throws for more than 20 yards. Another good thing to see. But the question that came up all week long, is Bill Lazor going to call? Who's going to call plays? Now, besides the questions about who the starting quarterback was going to be, which Justin Fields said he found out when the announcement was made last night. Believe him or don't believe him, but that's what he said in the postgame press conference, that that's when he found out he was going to be the starting quarterback for today. So Andy Dalton, obviously a little bit more hurt than we originally thought. Next week, they've got the Las Vegas Raiders. But one of the press questions, he kind of mentioned it without mentioning it about play calling. And then finally, Mark Potash of the Sun-Times asked the question that most people were all wondering about.
So, I mean, just to clarify, can you say who called the plays and if there was a change, what impact it had on the game?
Yeah, so in regards to the play calling, Bill did a great job, you know, and I think that, you know, at the same point in time, it's important that we understand that I felt good out there as a head coach, and that's real, you know. But we all get together, we talk through how we're going to call the game, and we do that when I'm calling plays too. You know what I mean? Us as a staff, we get together. So I think that that's important for everybody to know, you know, is that when we build a game plan together, whether it's the offensive line coach with Juan or whether it's our tight ends coach or wide receiver coach, et cetera, we do it together. And in the end, you know, I get a great opportunity to say, yes, I like this or no, I don't. As the head coach, right, in charge of all that. That's real.
Right.
So when you do that now, I also go back to saying last week, right? Or this last week was, hey, whatever I need to do to try to be the best head coach for the Chicago Bears. Whatever that is, I don't care. I just want us to have the best opportunity to win. And I feel like Bill did a great job today. Our players did a great job. Our coaching staff did a great job. And we played collectively together as a team. Not just players, not just coaches, everybody. And when you have that, it's a good feeling. So we'll continue to just keep talking. We'll continue to, but again, like, again, with all due respect, that it's going to be the last time I talk about it. Okay, with that.
Do you want to stick with Bill as the play caller?
Again, like I said, you just, you're unbelievable. I hope you understand. I get it. But just know, like, that's it. No more with theirs.
Outside of Hell's Fault, this was seen as
gaming. He tried, man. He tried.
Yeah, he sure did. And I wonder what the over-under is going to be for how many times Nagy gets asked this week if Bill Lazor is still going to call the plays, even though Nagy said, that's it. I'm not going to answer him any more questions on it. You know it'll be asked numerous times throughout the week. I'm thinking over-under somewhere around 10 or 11 times in his press conferences during the week. 312-332-3776. Are you excited about a Bears victory? Are they going to go, let's see, do they have more home games than road games? I think they have more road games. So are they going to go 8-9 this season, win their home games, lose all the road games? They got a tough schedule coming up. We'll take a look at that. We'll take your phone calls, 312-332-3776. Fred Huebner with you talking Bears after a 24-14 win over the Detroit Lions.
This is the ESPN Chicago Postgame Show with Fred Huebner. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app in HD at 100.3 HD2 and on AM at ESPN 1000. This is the ESPN Chicago Postgame Show. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app in HD at 100.3 HD2 and on AM at ESPN 1000. Here's your host, Fred Huebner.
There's no doubt about it. Gus Johnson on the call on Fox. Jared Goff drops back. He's hit by Robert Quinn, fumbles. Mack recovers, runs downfield, flips it to Eddie Jackson. And it got called back because the flip was a forward, illegal forward pass. But the Bears then got the ball first and 10 at the 23. This is when Detroit was challenging again. That was their third trip inside the 10 without coming away with any points. And the only reason that drive continued was because Mack got a roughing penalty. He basically hit the quarterback in the head. I know that Aqib Talib said, well, it's kind of there wasn't much there, but you can't hit the quarterback. You can't go high with your hands and hit him in the head. And they're always going to call that. And they did. But Jared Goff fumbles. And Robert Quinn, nice to see from Robert Quinn. Again, a guy that we made fun of throughout the whole year last year. We're going to play some of the Robert Quinn right here. He talked after the game. He's a little soft-spoken, so turn your radio up. But he talks about how he had other problems last year. He wouldn't get too far into it. He said he talked to a lot of people. Give it a listen. This is Robert Quinn from earlier today after the Bears' 24-14 win. You want to jump on in, 312-332-3776. Get to your calls after this from the Bears' defensive end.
Robert, you downplayed your own performance a couple of weeks ago, saying, you know, it's too early to be happy about this. No one should be happy about two sacks. At this point, you've done it now for four games. How much better do you feel about the way you're playing than you did last year?
I guess I'm just playing more consistently. Good game. But again, I was talking to someone walking in the tunnel on the next week. You know, it's just, I guess, being in the league so long, you got to learn how to, once the clock strikes zero, you move on to next week, you know, to realize what's in front of you. So, but to answer your question, I mean, it's a good start, but, you know, you got to have even better finish.
You'll concede that you're playing well. You'll give us that.
If you can write that if you want.
The pass rush just by the team.
I'm sorry?
How pleased were you with the pass rush today, just as a team?
Everyone was trying to, you know, disrupt the quarterback, you know, take advantage of their one-on-ones. And when it was your opportunity, you know, I think guys stepped up. So, again, as I was saying earlier, if we can consistently do stuff like that, I mean, of course, his defense is going to be unstoppable, but it's the consistency factor we definitely have to work on, you know, from the first quarter to the end of the fourth, you know, week in, week out. You know, there's a, I guess, a demand to be, you know, excellent. And, you know, again, we still got some work to do.
Robert, what allowed you to get home on the strip sack? What allowed you to get home on the strip sack?
I think I just got a good, you know, got off on the ball pretty well. Just got the corner, and well, of course, you need time to get there, so coverage had their people locked down and allowed me to, you know, get an extra second or two to get to the quarterback. So, you know, with sacks, it's rushing coverage, not just most of the time, not just one. So, I mean, I always like to thank everyone, when, at least when I get one.
Sure.
You guys do that very good.
They got inside your 10 three times in a row to start a game. Came away with 0 points.
Right.
What does that do for the defense to stop them there? And can that carry over for you guys and for their offense kind of?
I mean, again, that should be a standard. You know, if they don't cross the goal line, I mean, we still got a chance to get them off the field. So that should be our standard. No matter how close they are, no matter what the situation is, our job as a defense is to keep points off the board. So try not to make no excuses, try not to point fingers, just do our job. And hopefully the way we were rolling today, we can constantly build on that and consistently build on that. But, you know, to put it on film is a good thing, but I know I repeat myself a lot, but it's that consistency factor. That's how we really get judged.
You guys did a very good job stopping the Lions. What was the mindset every time the Lions were in the red zone for you guys?
Again, just get them off first, get them off the field. At best for them, was a field goal. But really, we wanted 0 points on the board. So, I mean, guys were swarming, just trying to make plays. And we did an okay job for the most part. But, you know, they got some big plays at the end of the game. You know, just thinking through, but... You know, we did a decent enough job for most of the game.
Robert, is there anything that feels better for you physically right now in the middle of this? I mean, stronger, faster, feet, your back, anything just feel night and day different than it did last year for you?
Honestly, just mentally and spiritually happy. You know, I had to take a lot of time this offseason and, you know, just take some time to myself and, you know, put myself in a better mind state. So I talked to some good friends, some pastors, and got myself mentally and spiritually right. And then brush off all the nonsense of last year and I guess the weight I was holding on, and you know, it's done and over with. So I just try to put the past behind me and, you know, make the most out of today. You know, our next breath isn't promised.
Just to kind of go on, your bend seems to be really, really good right now. Like we've kind of seen in the past, even going back to like the Rams days. How much was the back the issue with just your bend specifically last year?
Well, you know, again, it was a lot more than what people. I was in a rough place last year. I'll just leave it at that. I was in a very rough place, and I think my performance showed that. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, that was Robert Quinn after he recorded his fifth sack of the season as the Bears get a 24-14 victory over the Detroit Lions. 312-332-3776. He's playing great. He's putting pressure, not only getting to the quarterback, he's making tackles of the running backs. He's busting through the line, other guys getting opportunities to get to the QB. That's the Robert Quinn that Ryan Pace thought he was getting last year. And you hear from Quinn that he had other things he was dealing with. And I respect him for what he said. If I was a reporter, I would not ask him again. But I know that's not going to happen. Let's go to Westmont and George. George, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good, good, good. You know, I just had a couple of things. You know, first off, I just want to ask two questions. A, did you guys see anything today that made you have a different opinion about Fields compared to last week? You know, I know this Lions defense isn't really anything to taunt about, but at the end of the day, I don't really think I saw anything that made me change my mind about the future of the Bears at the quarterback position.
Ooh, I don't know. Hold on. I think just the way just the accuracy that he had. I mean, you didn't see him overthrowing guys. He was throwing deep passes. Like I said, he threw sometimes you'll see a 20-yard completion, a 25-yard completion where it's a throw and run. Most of these were deep passes, and he hit all the guys. He wasn't overthrowing guys. His six incompletions were not any of his deep passes, pretty much. I thought when he dropped the one into the down the right sideline to Mooney, I thought that was great. Those are things we were hoping to see because we haven't seen that from a Bears quarterback in a while.
Absolutely, and that kind of touches on my second question, too, because I completely agree with that part of it. Is Mooney the number one now?
Well,
you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I think Fields favors those long passes because in the short game, 10 to 15 yards, I think Robinson's your guy with those hands and that length. But I think with the deep balls, you look at the Bears' schedule, I mean, their next tough defense isn't until the Buccaneers, and I think it's week 8 or 7 or 8. I think Fields, this is the time for Fields to shine right now. If he doesn't shine right now, you're going to have Matt Nagy going into – the next week, not knowing his starting quarterback until Saturday night.
Yeah, it's weird. And George, appreciate the call. After the game he played today, I'd be very interested. The questions are going to come up again because if Andy Dalton's healthy, what are you going to do? And that's something that it's going to be every week, I think, until they step to the podium and say, Justin Fields is now our starting quarterback. I think it's going to be each and every week. The one thing about Mooney is right now, teams will key on Allen Robinson because they know he's usually the number one receiver. But as Darnell Mooney keeps doing things like this, after five catches, 125 yards, people will all see that. John Gruden and the Raiders will know that. So when they go into Las Vegas next week, they'll be watching him along with Robinson. And that should free up balls to the tight end, or maybe a Marquise Goodwin, or maybe a Damir Bird, some of these other guys, the big fast or the fast speedy guys that they brought in, or maybe throw a Jesse James in there at the tight end position. They're still not using the tight end. This offense, I think, has a ways where they can grow in a bunch of different ways. 312-332-3776. Callers hanging there. We'll get right back to you. Got to take a quick short break. We'll get right to the callers. We're here for a while. 312-332-3776. Talking Bears after a nice win over the Detroit Lions.
Don't move. More of the ESPN 1000 postgame show is coming up on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome to the ESPN 1000 postgame show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Fields with time delivers down.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney, the big man today for the Chicago Bears, as he had five catches, 125 yards. The Bears getting a 24-14 win. Bears had a 21-0 lead. And after that, Jared Goff found Khalil Raymond a couple times for touchdowns. And Cairo Sanchez, a field goal, 24-14, the final. We'll hear from Darnell Mooney in just a little bit. First, let's go back and hear from you at out in Highland Park. It's Scott on ESPN 1000. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Fred. How you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. Long time no hear. What's up?
Yeah, listen. I'm happy they won the game today, okay? I'm happy the way Justin Fields played. Play calling was better. But let's just be honest here. The team they played wasn't very good. And let's talk about Matt Nagy. Why is the guy so insecure about the play calling issue? I mean, it's one thing to not admit it, but then for him to go out of his way to say, well, good job, Bill, today, but I approved everything, and guess what? I made the calls last week, but we all worked on it as a team. I mean, it's a question. It's an obvious question, okay? It's not out of line to ask. And this is just a continued reflection of why this guy is wrong for Chicago. I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say. Great show, buddy.
Thanks, Scott. You're exactly right, because when I play the Nagy press conference, you'll hear, and it's almost like he's being defensive before he needed to be. He could have just said, as we do every week, We get together. We look at what plays could and could not work. This week, Bill Lazor called the plays that we all discussed. And everybody knows that the head coach has the headphones on. He can hear the play call that's being called in. If he wants to say no, he can just say no, switch to this. No, do something else. They've got time, okay? But he was. He was very, very out in front of it and kind of like saying, well, this is something we've agreed on. We've done this and that. And it was rather bizarre. I would rather just have a coach come on out and admit it. Listen, things weren't working last week. We tried something else. We always go over everything. That's why we have so many damn offensive coaches, quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, and all the other things, offensive, OCs, all this other stuff, okay? So it would be nice if he would just say that, but he didn't necessarily say it. We'll hear Nagy. He talked for a while today, so we'll hear him in the 7 o'clock hour and hear what he had to say. And He brought up a lot of things. He talked about Justin Fields. He liked a lot of things. The one thing, a couple things stick out of this game, and the one thing that you really dread, and granted, Detroit's not a good team. We know that. They're 0-4. Detroit's never a good team. But you got to beat who's on your schedule. And I know people were giving me crap because I was posting about the White Sox, how they've been struggling, and now they've won, they had won up until today, they had won 6 in a row. And I said, well, yeah. But before this win streak, they'd only had one two-game winning streak in the month of September. And because of that, they're going to Houston Thursday, okay? So you've got to beat the teams that are on your schedule. And today, it was the Detroit Lions for the Bears. Next week, it's the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas. And the schedule is really difficult at this point because after that, it goes, okay, Raiders next week, Packers at home, the Bucs in Tampa, and then the 49ers. And who knows, it could be Fields against Trey Lance because Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt today. A lot of injuries as there are each and every week around the National Football League. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But this was Darnell Mooney after the game. He was the first person to step to the podium and talk after his nice game. 5 catches, 125 yards. Mooney was talking about a lot of things, among them how important it was to get that first win in a Justin Fields start at home.
Just being able to get that first one out the way and just understanding, that it's not that different. Like, you just got to play regular. Just be yourself and just go out there and play. And he did that today.
Was there any sense that you guys kind of had your backs against the wall coming into this? Being 1-2 and last week kind of going like
that? No, I mean, it's the beginning of the season. The first 4 games, we increment them between the whole season, so 4 games out of each section, and we're 2-2 right now in the first 4 games, so we're good.
Now, before David got hurt, what kind of lift do you feel like he gave the offense today?
Always. I mean, he always gives an extremely lift. Just him being out there, his presence, the way he talks, and he gives me a boost for sure. And me and him feed off each other the whole game. So me seeing him go down, literally when he got tackled, I seen his facial expression, I heard him, and I'm like, oh, man. So I'm literally bringing the trainers over as fast as I can, waving my hand wise, and got down, prayed, and hopefully everything's okay. We'll get him back.
Have you been able to see him in there? Was he in the locker room?
Yeah, he was in there. He was looking fine to me. I mean, I don't know, MRI-wise, other things can tell, adrenaline is rushing, so you never know until the next day for sure.
What's your takeaways from getting the big plays? Like, do you find it ironic that earlier in previous weeks when you guys have spread it out and tried to hit the deep balls, you weren't able to do it, but now when you utilize 2 and 3 tight end packages, run the ball, that's when the big plays start to come?
You're talking about, the game plan-wise of it? I just go out there and do what I got to do. Whatever, the play is called, I don't have an attitude or anything about it. I just go out there and play my game. So, that's more so for the coaches for you to ask. I don't know. Yeah.
Darnell, you and David, you guys had some really cool Monsters, Inc. themed cleats. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I got mine yesterday from Adidas. He's had his for about a week, and he didn't know I was putting mine on until today. And we kind of had the little Spider-Man meme, you got yours on, I got mine on. So it was kind of nice. Looking to get some more cleats for pregame, too.
Is there an
What did you learn about the identity of
your
offense today?
The identity, we're starting to put it all together. Looks very good, feels very good. Penalties we got to take away, of course, every week. Some of those hurt us a little bit. And just being backed up a little bit. They had some good punts. And take away that, we got a solid game.
General, what did you like about the tone that you guys set offensively in the first half to get you guys out
there? I love it. I seen A-Rob, they had called the coin toss, and we had won. And I seen his hands like that. I was like, oh, okay. I like the way it's going. So aggressive right off the bat, and I love it for sure.
Yeah, something that the Chicago Bears offense usually isn't, and I understand. I'm not fooling anybody. I'm not, naive. I know the Detroit Lions are a bad team, but you've got to go on out and beat them, and they did that early. I still have questions about the defense, and those questions will continue because I'm not a big fan of the bend and don't break. I'd much rather have the defense go on out there and shut these guys down three and out. And we didn't necessarily see that today with a bad Detroit Lions team. Goff was able to complete passes. I'm looking here, first downs by teams, okay? Detroit had 23 first downs. 15 of those passing the ball, so that your linebackers and your secondary. 4 first downs running. They were 3 of 11 for a third down efficiency. The Bears were just 1 of 8. They ran 67 total plays, 348 yards. Their yards per play, 5.2. The Bears was 6.5. They had 258 yards passing. So you've got to look and see how the corners, I know that, Kendall Vildor got beat once or twice. They also were, being able to pick apart the zones a little bit. Goff was able to do that, get behind. Then there was a one pass. I want to say it was the touchdown play where Deion Bush just completely didn't know where he was going. He's looking at Ogletree to pick up a guy that's running past him, and it was Bush's guy. Aqib Talib pointed it out afterwards on the replay, talking about how Bush completely blew that one and let the wide receiver for Detroit go to the end zone, and that was Khalif Raymond. And so they've got to get better. We know that Eddie Jackson wasn't around all that much, which doesn't surprise me a lot. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look at some of the tackling stats, take a look at some of the other information. We'll hear from Matt Nagy. We'll hear from Justin Fields. He gets a win, his first home start at Soldier Field. Next week, it'll be Las Vegas. We'll discuss that. We come back in just 2 minutes, jumping in. 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
The ESPN 1000 postgame show returns after these.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
More Bears coverage on Instagram. Follow us at ESPN _ Chicago. This is the ESPN Chicago postgame show.
First down and 10 at the 35.
Tonight,
play fake. Fields delivers over the middle. Allen Robinson. And that is a gain of 30 yards. And that ball is jumping off Justin Fields' hands. Here's the run. Damian Williams, can he get in? Yes, he does. Touchdown, Chicago.
Gus Johnson on the call. The Bears get a win over the Detroit Lions 24-14, 312-332-3776. Justin Fields with a nice completion, a 30-yard completion to Allen Robinson on the sideline. And then after a David Montgomery run, Fields actually drops back. He drops right into Mooney, a really nice pass for 32 yards. And then Damian Williams goes over from 4 yards out. The Bears getting the victory there. 3 touchdowns all on the ground. 2 from David Montgomery, who got hurt later in the contest. Montgomery 23 for 106 in the 2 touchdowns. Williams 8 carries, 55 yards. The Bears putting on a nice little offensive display early. I think any Bears fan that was at the game, or if you watched the game, you had to be surprised and shocked, because if you said, I can't imagine that the Bears had 5 passing plays for 20 or more yards in the first 3 games of the season. I doubt that happened. And you watch other games and other teams, and you see it all the time. You see it each and every game, if not more. And that was nice to see. We had a caller earlier talking about how he didn't see much of a difference. I disagree. I think that we saw what Justin Fields can do. He was not overthrowing people. He was not going short. He was not throwing over their heads. He was putting the ball right where it needed to be, and that was nice to see. 312-332-3776. The NFL Network, they come up, or NFL .com, they come up with a thing about things we learned for the week. So when it gets to the Bears game, this is one of the interesting things. And it says here, Lions bungle red zone opportunities. Now, I brought it up, but they lay it out even better than I do. Detroit moved the ball between the 20s most of the day, generating 347 yards and 23 first downs, but went just 1 for 5 in the red zone. Listen to this. Detroit's first three possessions, they drove to the 8, the 5, and the 3. The series ended with a premature snap fumble, a turnover on downs, and a sack fumble. It says the quarterback, Goff, vacillated from head-scratching error to impressively dodging rushers to find open targets. Goff threw for 299 yards and 2 touchdowns, but also took 4 sacks and lost 2 fumbles. Signal caller threw a bevy of high balls on the day, including a fourth down throw late to the line, or with the Lions driving, that would have made it a 1-score game. On the pass, Goff didn't see a wide open Quintez Cephas over the middle. That's Jared Goff. When things are clean, he can make impressive plays under heat. However, he's melted in 4 starts for the winless Lions. And that's what happened. He did have opportunities. And that's what, as a Bears fan, has to scare you, because a good quarterback is going to be able to do that and pick apart the defense. If Jared Goff can do it for the most part and throw for 299 yards, just think about what some of these other quarterbacks that the Bears are going to be facing will be able to do. You're going to have Tom Brady you're going to be facing. You're going to face Aaron Rodgers in a couple weeks. You got Derek Carr in a week or so. Who knows who's going to be there for the 49ers. So they're really going to have to step up their game defensively. And I'm eager to see how things will go next week in Las Vegas. Also interested to see when the White Sox will be playing, because that'll be the White Sox home game after games on Thursday and Friday in Houston. Who knows when they'll be? Probably a 3 o'clock game, because if the Yankees win the wild card, I wouldn't think they'd put the Red Sox on in front of the White Sox, but you never know. They could, because of the East Coast bias. Dare I say that? 312-332-3776. We'll hear from Matt Nagy in a little bit. If he gets a chance, JD, Jeff Dickerson, who was at the at Soldier Field, will try to give us a call if he gets the opportunity. Let's hear from Justin Fields, because Fields for the game, think about it, last week, 9 sacks. He had just 6 completions. Today, he only threw 17 passes. He completed 11 of the 17 for the Chicago Bears. 209 yards, an interception on a ball that was tipped, and he was sacked just once. His quarterback passer rating, 82.7. Fields talked to the media after the game at Soldier Field.
Justin, you guys won the coin toss. Instead of deferring and wanting the ball right away, what did doing that and also being successful in scoring on the first drive do for the team?
Us winning the toss and, you know, scoring on the first drive, that definitely sets the tone for the rest of the game. So, I'm just proud of everybody on offense, from the O-line to the receivers to the running backs, you know, running hard. And I think we all executed today at a high level.
Justin, how would you describe the rhythm that was established on that opening series?
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, we had a great rhythm. Just like I said, you know, the O-line set the tone with the run game. And, of course, David was running hard like he always does. So the first drive was definitely a big drive in the game.
Coming into the day, what did you feel most comfortable with the game plan you guys had established coming in?
I just felt like we had a good balance between, you know, run, play action, and, you know, just different stuff like that. So, you know, it was just a great play by the O-line, like I said before, and just a great balance between running and passing the ball.
Justin, getting some of that verticality, particularly with Mooney early in the game, what did that do to open the game up, or to open stuff up on the defense?
Mm-hmm. That's a big play in the game, and that's going to give us momentum. So the more explosive plays we can get, the better. And, of course, that play was a backed-up play. We were kind of backed up, and, you know, that was a big shot. And that just goes with momentum and, you know, practice. You know, me and Mooney, we stay almost every day after practice to throw at least a few extra routes. So, you know, me and him are pretty much always on the same page. And, he had a great day today. He balled up.
Justin, you said that you looked at him, or he caught your eye, or vice versa, on that play.
Yeah.
He knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, I told him. I'm not going to get into the specifics of that play, but, I mean, he knew he was getting the ball in that play. So, like I said before, he ran a great route, and it was a great play by him.
Justin, you feel like you had a better handle all around on everything?
Yeah, I mean.
As far as the pace, as far as all the things you have to keep track of, was it more manageable today than last week?
I mean, yeah, I felt even more manageable, just like I was telling the guys in the radio in there, just my mindset, like, coming in today, it was just different. And I think it was because of last week, you know, how we played, we didn't play like we wanted to. So, you know, my goal was out there to just play better than last week. And I thought we did that. The O-line did a great job today. They only let up one sack, and that sack was on me. I should have checked the ball down the flat faster than that. But, you know, the O-line played great. I'm proud of those guys.
Mentally, all the things you have to keep up with, was that easier this week than in your debut?
It was the same.
Justin, you had a pass on first and 10 in third quarter towards the end of Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be a very tight window. What did you see that made you confident enough to?
Which one? Was it
first? It's like a minute and 50 left.
Oh, I think it was the dagger. That's a play that we rep a lot in practice. So it was just like practice. He ran a great route, great catch, and he got yacked. So great protection up front. So I mean, the O-line did a great job today, like I said before, and those guys definitely bounced back from last week.
How much did that pass to Mooney do for your confidence that early, the early deep shot, just to kind of get you a little confidence?
I mean, I felt good. Like, I feel like before the game, like, I know when I'm in a rhythm and I know when I'm feeling good. So I felt good, like, just coming into the game, throwing the ball, I felt good. So I knew it was going to be a good day today.
It looked like Jimmy, before he took a knee at the end, said something to you. What did he say there?
I don't know. Jimmy's always talking to me throughout the game, so I have no idea what he said in that specific moment, but yeah.
Justin, what did you learn about yourself this week in being able to make a pretty big leap between blocks?
I mean, I didn't learn anything new. You know, I've been in tough spots before, and, you know, my mindset was just to bounce back from last week. So just to get better and keep pushing. You know, I saw Russell Wilson posted a tweet this past week saying, I love adversity, and I truly do love that because it just brings a whole different person out of me. And, you know, in some ways I'm glad, you know, last week happened. You know, I think – if we would have won last week, it wouldn't have pushed us as much this week to get better and practice as hard.
Justin, Matt complimented Coach Lazor for his job calling the game today. As the guy who was taking the plays, what did you see from the play caller perspective that made you feel good about the day?
I mean, yeah, he does good. You know, Bill, he's up in the box, so his voice is always calm. That's the one thing I like. You know, Coach, it's harder for him to be calm when he has to focus on the defense, focus on special teams. So, you know, his voice is calm. He's up there in the box seeing the field well, and he did a great job calling plays today.
How do you establish a connection with the play caller just so that he knows what you want to do and it's just sort of becomes second nature?
Yeah, so I think after, Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays, you know, me, Flip, Coach Nagy, and Bill, we all get together and, you know, pretty much just pick out my favorite plays, the plays I'm most comfortable with and stuff like that, and just go through them like that. That way we're all on the same page into what, you know, they're thinking about calling in certain situations on certain down and distances and stuff like that.
You talked about loving the adversity and rebounding, but there was a lot of adversity for everyone on the team, especially offense. Mm. What would you say was the key to the team rebounding from one of the worst performances in a long time?
What was the key? Just to getting back to what we do. That wasn't us last week. I mean, just like you said, that was the worst performances almost in Bears history. So that's not how we play. So it was just happy to see, you know, us get back on track this week and, you know, execute from the O-line to the receivers to the running backs to me. So it was a good day.
At what point were you aware that you were going to be starting today?
Last night when they announced it.
Justin, plenty of positives offensively, obviously. What did you see on the interception and then what allowed you to bounce back from that?
I mean, Mooney was wide open on the interception and just got tipped, so I can't do anything about that.
Justin, you said last week you've never had a game like that at any level, high school, college. So I imagine you never had a film session like the ones you guys have this week. What were those film sessions like, and then what was that process like working through it with Flip?
The film session was the same. I mean, you know, last week I felt like there were a few plays that I could have got back. You know, I could have thrown a little bit earlier, but, you know, there was also some stuff that I couldn't control. So, I mean, it was just the same. And, you know, just as an offense as a whole, we were just trying to get better and, you know, play better, not only for, you know, the offense, but for our defense, because, you know, our defense usually balls out every game. So, you know, we don't want to put those guys out on the field and get those guys tired. So I thought we all played well today, and we're just going to keep getting better.
Justin,
When you did the reverse spin away from the blitzer, I know it didn't produce much, but what did you see from that?
I just saw him coming and I moved. I didn't even know I spin for real, so I just turned around and saw him right there and I just moved a little bit. So.
How important was the blocking from the tight ends and the running backs in that situation for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting the running game going like we did today, it definitely opens up play action. And, you know, it makes the linebackers come up and try to play the run more. So, like I said before, from the, you know, O-line to the tight ends, they were blocking their butts off today. And it was an overall good day.
You expressed your confidence in David Montgomery before today, before he got hurt. What was the kind of jolt that he gave this offense based on what you're saying?
David's a leader. He's one of the team captains. He talks to us before every game. I mean, he's a dog. He's bringing the same energy every day at practice, every game. And I hope my boy, I hope it's not too serious. But, you know, even if it is, he's still going to be a leader on his team and still going to continue to lead this offense.
That's Justin Fields after the game the other day or earlier today. And it's great because Sean Davis, my producer, was talking too, because you saw how he caught it. Someone asked him, when did you know you're going to start? And he paused for a second. He goes, when they announced it last night. And it was perfect because, you know, you try to catch the youngster, but, you know, when you're talking to the media, when you play for Ohio State, it's not like, you know, you talk all the time and this is something you get used to. And he's very, very smart. He's wise. I liked when he talked about how they sit down late in the week and they go over the plays that he feels comfortable with. And that's nice to see when you see the plays that they called, the passes to Mooney, some of the routes to Allen Robinson. Now, maybe he's not comfortable with passes to the tight ends. I can't think of any other reason why the tight end doesn't give any targets. I think, actually, Komet did get a few targets today. I think it was 3 or 4. But he just had the one catch for Cole Komet. We come back, we'll talk more about the Bears' win, 24-14. You want to jump on in, 312-332-3776. They got the Raiders coming up. The Raiders play their game tomorrow night when they take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Should be a great game. I think there's a game going on tonight. I'm not sure. I've heard a lot of people talking about it throughout the course of the week. I don't care. I couldn't care less about this game, but anyway, that's just me. Call me crazy. 312-332-3776. Talking Bears after a 10-point win over the Lions.
The ESPN 1000 postgame show returns after these.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The ESPN Chicago postgame show continues on the ESPN Chicago app in HD at 100.3 HD2 and on AM at ESPN 1000.
So the Bears get a win, 24-14. Over the Detroit Lions. Lions fall to 0-4. The Bears 2-2. Do you think that there's any possibility that Andy Dalton starts next week? If Andy Dalton's healthy and can go, after you saw what you saw from Justin Fields, do you think there's any possibility that Andy Dalton plays? And if not, do you think there's any possibility that Andy Dalton ever plays again? If the Bears liked what they saw, and I think it would be hard to not like what you saw from Justin Fields today. Again, 11 for 17 for the game, 209 yards. He threw the interception on a tip ball, and he was sacked once. But 312-332-3776. Do you think Andy Dalton will start again this year, or do you think it's now Justin Fields' team? I know that's one of the questions Cap's probably going to be talking about tomorrow, along with Jay Hood, tomorrow morning at 7. And then don't forget, at 10 o'clock, it'll be Carmen and Yurko. I had a chance to go see those guys the other day. They do a Football Friday podcast, and they went out to 93 Octane out in St. Charles, part of the Pride Stores in St. Charles. Great place, tremendous beer. And if you get a chance, head on out there. It's a really nice place. They just opened up a new patio and had a great time out there listening to their podcast. They both thought the Bears would win this week, and they did, a 10-point win. They had a 21-0 lead. It got a little scary in moments, but the Lions shot themselves in the foot more than enough in this game, especially in the first half when they drive inside the Bears 10 on the first three possessions, come away with no points. Now, something for Justin Fields. Justin Fields, after today's game, has 9 completions of 10-plus yards, 10-plus air yards, meaning the ball traveled 10 yards or more through the air. That's 9 of them. Andy Dalton, in the games he's played this year, has 2. And I think that's what, as a Bears fan, you'd like to see the offense finally get to, you know, the present age, the present date, okay? Because Bears offense, for the most part, has not been that over the last couple of years. We thought that the Bears offense would be something where they'd be able to move the ball more, throw it to the tight ends, go deep to an Allen Robinson or a Darnell Mooney. Well, we didn't see that till today. And today you saw Darnell Mooney with 5 catches, Allen Robinson with 3. You saw the ball go deep. When you see Fields passes today of 20 or more yards, 21 yards to Mooney, 64 yards to Mooney, 32 yards to Mooney, and a 30 and a 27-yarder to Allen Robinson. That's nice. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the ball to be in the air for the Chicago Bears, and it makes running makes the pass easier. David Montgomery, there'll be a lot of questions tomorrow, how the MRI turns out. When he went down, he left. You heard earlier, if you were listening, Darnell Mooney talked about as soon as he went down, he heard him yell. You saw him take his helmet off. He was visibly in pain and grabbed his left knee, was helped off the field, went right to the locker room after that. So hopefully he'll be okay and ready to go for next week. Who knows? If he misses a week or two, we'll see. But Montgomery is a guy, and we've known it. That's the thing. When they draft a guy like this and just don't give him the ball, it's so frustrating. But today, 23 carries, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and he was not going down on that second touchdown. The 9-yard run, he was pushing with his back. They turned him around, and he got to the goal line and scored. He at the time, giving the Bears a 14-0 lead. 312-332-3776. We'll play the entire Matt Nagy press conference right after 7:30. But a couple other things he talked about, and they asked Justin Fields about this. And I'm looking. I'm getting ready to watch the game. I got my notepads all ready to start taking notes. And all of a sudden, I see the Detroit Lions lining up to kick off. I said, okay, well, I said the Lions must have won the toss and elected to defer. No, the Bears won the toss and decided they would like to take the ball. Now, that's interesting. And Matt Nagy says, and you'll hear it when we play the bite, but Matt Nagy said the weather was part of it because they expected there to be rain throughout the day. Every forecast I heard said there was going to be rain. If you're going to the Bears game, expect to get wet. Well, it didn't really get wet until after the contest at Soldier Field. But that was one of the things, but Nagy says not that much. They wanted to get the ball. They wanted to have Justin Fields take the field in his first start at Soldier Field, and it all worked out as they march downfield, 12 plays, 75 yards, and they get a touchdown right off the bat with David Montgomery.
Montgomery running left. Catch it. Touchdown, Chicago. The Bears march it right down the field and score on their opening series. 12 plays, 75 yards. They eat up 6 minutes and 11 seconds.
Now, I was one of the guys that I think anytime you win the coin toss, you should defer. Because, everybody knows the reason why. It's the only time in a game you can really get the ball back-to-back times. And it's got to work out perfect. You got to get the ball at the end of the first half, score, and then you have an opportunity to take the ball at the beginning of the second half on the kickoff and go downfield and score. You can score back-to-back touchdowns. The Bears, though, decided, listen, we want the ball. We've got a guy that is going to be the starter. He's going to be at home in his first home start after a rough game. We think we have a good plays called for him, and also we're playing the Detroit Lions. So another reason to make sure that happens. So it all worked out fine. Just 3 plays of negative yards. That's a plus. You didn't see 2 or 3 yard losses. You saw one sack and a couple of, you only saw 1 or 2 swing passes. And you did see several times during the course of the game, direct snaps to David Montgomery. And we did know Nick Foles was the backup quarterback today. Andy Dalton was not in uniform. It was Nick Foles if, in fact, something happened to Justin Fields. But we also knew that David Montgomery has been talked about as being the emergency quarterback. So Montgomery was back there today. He handed the ball off one time. Another time he took the ball and ran, and I think he gained 15, 18, 20 yards. Very, very nice as he they ran play action with Montgomery. And that was a nice thing. That's what David Montgomery does for you. And we've always talked about getting him 20, 25 touches. Well, 23 for 106 is the way it's supposed to work out. And that was very, very nice. Now, I've mentioned the stat a couple times, but the first three drives, the Detroit Lions take the ball and they get inside the Bears 10. And they don't score. So a stat came out from Next Gen Stats. By driving the ball inside the Bears 10 on the first three drives without scoring, that's the first time it's happened by an NFL team driving the ball inside the 10, first three drives, not scoring since 1993. So the Lions are setting records and doing all kinds of things that are bad. But if you look at it, and there was a Lions fan in the building earlier today, Ryan McGuire, our producer for White Sox Baseball, had his Lions shirt on. And they have a couple of nice running backs. They have a couple of nice young receivers. This Khalif Raymond looked good. Cephas looked pretty good. They have the makings of what could be a decent team down the road. Now the question is, will this head coach be the guy that's going to get them to that next level? You want to jump on in? 312-332-3776. We're here till 8 o'clock. We're still going to hear from Matt Nagy, his entire press conference after the game, after the Bears' 24-14 victory. Also, we'll take a look at the Bears' division, how the teams panned out. Besides the Lions, we know that, how the Vikings, how the Packers did, what they all have coming up for next week, and also some injuries around the National Football League from games that happened earlier today. Jump on in if you'd like, 312-332-3776. I'd love to know if you think that Andy Dalton will start another game for the Bears, or is it now Justin Fields' team? I don't know how far away Matt Nagy is from saying that, but we'll hear from Matt Nagy when we come back after this.
This is the ESPN Chicago postgame show. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app in HD at 100.3 HD2 and on AM at ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports is talking Bears football. This is the ESPN Chicago postgame show. Here's Fred Huebner.
So the Bears are 2-2. They get the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas next week. Tomorrow it'll be the Raiders taking on the Chargers at SoFi Stadium. Chargers are 2-1. Raiders are 3-0. Can you believe the Arizona Cardinals are the only team in the NFL 4-0? That's amazing. They just took it to the Rams earlier today. And I was listening earlier this morning, and the Rams and McVay, he was 4-0 against the Cardinals. Yeah, well, that didn't pan out very well from my wager. It certainly did not. Big things coming up tomorrow here on ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie will broadcast from Guaranteed Rate Field inside the Shy Sox Bar and Grill tomorrow afternoon. It's part of the Change the Game rally from 3 until 7. Admission is free, but you must get a ticket in advance at whitesox.com/CTG. Live music, prizes, speed pitch machine. Come celebrate the White Sox in the playoffs. That is tomorrow, Monday afternoon, with Waddle and Sylvie at the Shy Sox Bar and Grill right here on ESPN 1000. Well, he had nothing good to say after last week's game as the Bears lost and were sacked 9 times. Justin Fields was 9 times. Today, a much happier Matt Nagy. He talks about a lot of things, obviously down about the injury to David Montgomery, but the Bears get the victory, and he talked after the contest.
All right, so to get started, I want to just give our players a lot of credit for stepping up. They came out here and they won the game. They played hard. They accepted the challenge. In particular, our offensive unit with that offensive line, the tight ends, running backs, Justin, wide receivers, all in all, from the start. They did it the first two drives, got a nice little lead, let our defense play. I thought we talked about let's have all three phases come out. Let's play together. Let's fight. Let's be tough. That's what we're about, and responding to adversity. They did that. So the players should get a lot of credit for being able to come out here and do what they did. So there's a lot that we'll learn from at the same time, like every game. But for us to be able to, you know, rush for 185 yards, to have the attempts we had, to make plays when we did, there's a couple we'd want back. That's a part of football. But again, I can't state enough with Justin bouncing back from last week. What a great job for him to be able to respond to what happened, to learn, to get better. That's what this game's all about, right? You're a rookie quarterback in a tough environment, your first start. You come back at home and you bounce back, and he did that. He made great plays. He made great throws, great decision-making. His teammates stepped up for him. The defense did. The special teams, his coaches did. And for that, I'm proud of all those guys. Obviously, the defense, being able to have them 1 for 5 in the red zone, 1 for 4, goal to go, I think, or maybe it was 1 for 3, get those stops. That's important. You're taking points off the board. When you play that way, you can win football games. And so that's special teams. Again, I thought our kickoff coverage, our punt coverage was good. And when you have the three phases, as we talked about last night, just emphasize it, you can win in this game. It's a division game. It's at home. And we've had two of those. At the same point in time, I'd be remiss if I didn't give credit to Coach Dan Campbell and those Lions, man. They fight. We knew that going into this week, that they're going to feed off of their head coach. He's a guy that has done a great job and is going to have a great program, their organization. And so give credit to them, too. Again, the positives of the game for the O-line, you know, last week 9 sacks, this week 1 sack, right? Everybody included, not just the O-line. And then, you know, you look at the 3 plays of negative yards. Last week, we got into those 3rd and forevers on the road hard. This week, to have 3 plays in negative yards is pretty good. So credit to those guys. 10-plus yards 12 times, 10-plus yards 6 rushes, and 25-plus yards for 4 passes. Those are things that when I come in after the game, you have no idea about, but you hear that and you feel good about it. The defense, to get the takeaways. And so that part I like. Injury-wise, we got Hicks. We lost him first play with his groin, so we'll see how that goes. Obviously, David Montgomery with his knee, we'll work through that. And then Damian Williams with a quad. So speaking of the two running backs, again, we'll work through all that stuff here in the next couple of days, so I won't have any more on that. But again, to the coaches, too, I thought that in what we went through last week, we all together need to work together, and that's what we did. So I was proud of that.
Coach, you got the running game going. You were able to utilize some 2 and 3 tight end packages.
Yeah.
The play action pass.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you found the formula for success for this year's Bears team?
So when you look at this deal, when you play a game and you come out of a game like last week in Cleveland, you say to yourself, did we have an identity, right? And in general, I would say the answer to that was no. So whatever happened, whatever the result was of today, we were going to come out of this thing with an identity. And I think that's important. And again, this isn't something that just happens today on Sunday in a game. This is something that happens every day, Monday through Saturday. And then we got to do it today. I told you there was a lot of talks. I told you there was a lot of honesty. And it's about solutions. And so now I thought we did a good job of that today. But let's build off of that.
Can you tell us what you do know about David Montgomery? Can you give us just some sense of what's...
I don't know. I don't know enough. So we'll just keep working through it.
You asked for the ball to start the game. That was obviously a
moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The mindset going into that. And then also what you felt about that first drive.
Yeah. So a couple things involved with that. I think that with our mindset of this week offensively, what we discussed, what we talked about, maybe that was a little bit of it. There was possibly, it didn't happen, right? But you look at the week, all week, it's supposed to have a little bit of weather too in the later on. And so that wasn't really that big of a deal, but maybe a little bit of it. And then just for us to be able to go and have a mindset of let's go down there, let's get the ball, let's see what we can do with it. In a perfect world, we'll go ahead and get a touchdown and go up 7-0 and let our defense go. And that's what happened. Does it always work? No. Do we always do it? No. But sometimes I feel like as a head coach, you know, you talk to your coordinators, you talk to your coaches, and you make a decision, and whatever it is, you roll with it, and that's what we did.
What about that opening drive?
Yeah. Yeah, just rhythm. Guys made plays. We got the running game going, you know, and then we were effective in the red zone. And David has a knack. He has a knack for the red zone. He shows that. He's proven that all year long. He's proven it his whole career. So you put it on, you hang it on, you hang your hat on those O linemen, those tight ends. Like, sometimes the O line always gets all the credit, and they did a hell of a job. But we can't forget about those tight ends either, and the way that David runs and Damian and these other guys. So if you could wake up in the morning and say, I wish this would happen on the first drive, that's what happened. So that was a good thing.
You referenced all the conversations and the solutions you had this week.
Yeah.
Delegating some of the play calling responsibility?
Yeah, again, that goes back to what we talked about internally for the whole week, is whatever I can do for the best thing for the Bears, whatever that is. And I think that, again, for us, I think big picture, so we all understand it, is, you know, the offense in general, we get together on Monday as a staff, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We go through everything together. Ultimately, it goes through me, right? Everything that we do, regardless of anything else, who's calling this, who's calling that, it goes through me. And so that part I appreciate, because we do it together, and then there's a collaboration of how we do it. But I thought that our coaches did a great job today. I thought our players executed, which is what we asked for. And quite honestly, again, like, I know, and with all due respect, I understand the questions, but that's what it is, and that's what's going to be the rest of the year, is just knowing that whatever happens, it goes through me, and we've done it together.
What does the way Justin played today mean for him starting going forward?
Say that again one more time.
Yeah. Starting going forward, depending.
We'll work through. All we wanted to do, quite honestly, today was win the game, go 2-2, and be able to talk about everything else as we go. You guys all know, in regards to Andy working through what he went through this past week. So we'll see where he's at. But Justin had to focus on today and winning this football game and getting better. And I think he did both of those.
The growth from last week to this week.
Yeah. It was there.
Does that intrigue you for the growth from now till whenever?
Whether it's now, whether it's tomorrow, whenever it is, all I wanted to do and see with Justin and we wanted to see was exactly what we saw today, which is growth. Were there things that he can get better at? Yeah, that's every quarterback in the NFL, right? So understanding that and knowing that, and that's where now it's our job. Unlike last week when you lose, now you win, you can still have a lot of the same corrections of certain things. Now, he did a lot of good things too that we understand. You might not know from the outside within a play with a decision that he made, but I know from the sideline he made them, and we know from the box he made them. So now that's all he could do was win today and just get better. And I think I know for a fact he did that.
So maybe how would you describe the performance of your secondary, and if there are any concerns about the group?
No, I think they play hard. That's all, you know, go out there, play hard, make plays. And they did that. It's a full communication between them and the front seven, and all those guys, they played hard and they made plays.
Now you've got Eddie back, you know, first time since 2019. What did you see from him and the
LFT game? It's from what I was seeing on the sideline, you see a guy that's, for him to be able to come in and play the amount of plays that he did, and Eddie Goldman affects plays by just being out there. He can affect other players having good results by him being out there. He's very, very underrated. So I can't tell you specifically, but when we get, I'm excited to watch the tape and see all the numbers and see what he did and how he helped impact the game. Say that again.
The offensive line had almost a night and day difference.
Yeah.
In Cleveland. What do you think went into their performances?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Number one, you know, there's a lot of different variables, but we talked about at the beginning of the week what they are and how we think we can get better, and whether it's, you know, there's whether it's a lot of different things. Without me getting into details, I hate to do that, because all I care about is that they played their butts off today, and they fought, they were tough. And they gave our running backs chances to create lanes. And when you do that and you average 4 or 5 yards a carry, that's a good deal. Because what you do is, in the end, and we weren't good on third down. We were 1 for 8. But we weren't 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 19, 3rd and 22, 3rd and 14, et cetera. We were a lot less than that. So, you know, we just got to keep getting better there.
How do you feel as the head coach having such a balance between the passing and the running the game?
Yeah.
Several times last season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's for sure. You got to be able to do that. You want to be balanced. Does it happen every game? No. But in general, when you're able to get the carries that we got, we had, in the end, 39 total carries. I think you can win football games doing that. Is every game going to be like that? No. There's going to be some games where you have 20 total carries and you have 45 attempts passing, how the games go. When you can get out to a lead and have a fast start, it's always going to help. And then you get to 4 minute. You see at the 4 minute there at the end, we busted a couple, right? We got a couple. That always adds a few more. That's the recipe for success, in my opinion. And again, I'm just proud of our players. Our players came here today. They showed up. They were challenged. And they accepted it. And they took it head on. They got a win. And now we got to reset again, learn off of this, and see how we can get better against a good Raiders team.
So man, just to clarify, can you say who called the plays and if there was a change, what impact it had on the game?
Yeah, so in regards to the play calling, Bill did a great job, you know, and I think that, you know, at the same point in time, it's important that we understand that I felt good out there as a head coach, and that's real, you know. But we all get together, we talk through how we're going to call the game, and we do that when I'm calling plays too. You know what I mean? Us as a staff, we get together. So I think that's important for everybody to know, you know, is that when we build a game plan together, whether it's the offensive line coach with Juan or whether it's our tight ends coach or wide receiver coach, et cetera, we do it together. And in the end, you know, I get a great opportunity to say, yes, I like this, or no, I don't, as the head coach, right, in charge of all that. That's real.
Right.
So when you do that now, I also go back to saying last week, right, or this last week was, hey, whatever I need to do to try to be the best head coach for the Chicago Bears, whatever that is, I don't care. I just want us to have the best opportunity to win. And I feel like Bill did a great job today. Our players did a great job. Our coaching staff did a great job. And we played collectively together as a team, not just players, not just coaches, everybody. And when you have that, it's a good feeling. So we'll continue to just keep talking. We'll continue but again, like, again, with all due respect, that it's going to be the last time I talk about it. Okay, with that.
Sorry, do you want to stick with Bill as the play caller?
Again, like I said, you just, you're unbelievable. I hope you understand. I get it. But just know, like, that's it. No more with this.
Outside of hell and salt, this was seen as game.
He tried. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Outside of hell and salt, this was seen as a game that you personally could not afford to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't see it that way,
mm-hmm.
but did you get the impression through a lot of the questions you were being asked last week that this was more than just another Week 4 game?
So for me, there's always, you always have moments in your life, moments in your career where you get to a point where you understand, okay, where you're at, why you're there, how you're going to get through it. And I just feel like as you get to this point, you get to start to see true colors of people, whether it's players, coaches, people outside, family, friends, et cetera. And this comes with the territory. I mean, this is, anybody that signs up to be a head coach is always going to go through times like this. For me personally, I have ultimate trust in a lot of people, and the people when I say that, our players stepped up and they did a heck of a job of understanding that. Forget me and all that other stuff, they don't care about that. All they care about is making sure that we win this game, and that's all I care about. So whatever else is going on out there, I understand it, that's a part of the game, but I know that for all of us it was very important to win this division game at home and control that.
What does this offensive performance do for the confidence of the team ahead of the game?
Yeah, it's very important because when you come off of a game like last week, it challenges you. It makes you take a step back and realize what is it all about. And last week wasn't about just one thing. There was a lot of things that went into it. But at the same point in time, it feels a lot better. And we told the guys, man, you get a win in the NFL, you celebrate it, you enjoy it tonight, you come back tomorrow ready to go, you fix your corrections. But it helps it definitely helps because it's the right step. And the NFL is a long season. There's a lot of highs and lows. And my job as a leader of these men, everybody, is to make sure that when you have a bad game and you struggle, can you rally back? Can you respond, right? Because there's a lot of people that don't. They're negative and they don't care and they just want to give up. We're not doing that. We're not. And so our players proved it. Now we got it. Now when you win, right, you don't get complacent. And now when you don't get complacent, you accept the next challenge and you try to get better. But being better on offense, being better on defense, being better on special teams shows that we have a good football team. And I'm just proud of our players for that.
Yeah, and the next challenge is next Sunday in Las Vegas against the Raiders. We'll take a look at how the division did elsewhere. The Bears beat the Detroit Lions 24-14. We're talking about it on ESPN 1000.
The dissection of the Bears game continues right after this. This is the ESPN 1000 postgame show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. This is the ESPN Chicago postgame show. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So in the Bears division, they're now 2-2. The Lions fall to 0-4. The Bears get Las Vegas next week. Detroit is at Minnesota. The other teams in the Bears division, the Vikings, they marched downfield and scored on the first possession as Kirk Cousins hits Justin Jefferson, and you figure, okay, the victory's on its way. But that was it. They did not score again. And the Browns, well, they did score.
18th play of the drive. Janovich, the fullback. Kareem Hunt, Janovich, the block. And he torpedoes in for the touchdown.
Kareem Hunt scoring a touchdown. The Browns getting a 14-7 win over Minnesota. I was shocked in this one for the low-scoring game. I thought that Cleveland would be able to put up more points against Minnesota. And when the Vikings scored right off the bat, I thought that they would be able to do well, but they didn't. That was it. So next week, Minnesota hosting Detroit. The Green Bay Packers, after a thoroughly disgusting win over my Niners last week on Sunday night, when Aaron Rodgers threw the ball downfield, he gets two first downs to Devontae Adams, and all of a sudden Crosby comes in and kicks the field goal. Well, Aaron Rodgers was busy today with a couple of touchdown passes, including this one.
Rodgers.
Yep, he ties the record form with Marino. Is that touchdowns? Touchdown passes. He ties the record with Dan Marino. Aaron Rodgers had two TD tosses today, both to Randall Cobb. He also ran one in as the Packers get the 27-17 win over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh actually had the lead in this game early, but the Packers in Lambeau Field take over. They are now 3-1. They are on top of the division. Then you have the Bears at 2-2, Minnesota 1-3. And Detroit in the back at 0-4. So next week, the Bears are in Vegas to take on the Raiders while Green Bay travels to Cincinnati. And we'll see how that turns out. Bengals playing okay football, not too shabby. And the Bears getting ready for the Vegas Raiders. We'll see how they do tomorrow night when they take on the Los Angeles Chargers at SoFi Stadium. Should be a really good Monday night contest in the NFL, wrapping up week 4 of the NFL. Cannot wait for week 5. See how things go as the Bears hit the road. They've got that road home schedule. So after a 2 wins at home, 2 losses on the road, they take to the road again, take on Las Vegas. Thanks to Sean Davis for all of his help. Thanks to you for listening and jumping on in. The Bears and Justin Fields, they get a victory over the Detroit Lions 24-14. Fields 11 for 17, 209 yards and just one interception, one sack, and David Montgomery, really nice game. 23 rush, 106 yards. We'll see how he is. An MRI scheduled for tomorrow as he went down with a knee injury late in the contest. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, big day tomorrow, Waddle and Sylvie out at the Shy Sox Bar and Grill And they'll be broadcasting live later tomorrow. Go White Sox. Thanks for listening here on ESPN 1000.
They were well experienced in that club dub. Nice little breakdown, a couple booms.
Go Bears!